Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord. We also want to wish you all a Merry Christmas. I know tomorrow will be Christmas, and we wish you all a Merry Christmas and pray that you have a blessed Christmas. And again, no matter what gifts you receive, no matter how little or how much you receive and things of this nature, remember the main reason of the season. And make sure you have the greatest gift of all, the gift of God, which is salvation through Jesus Christ. If you don't have that, you're missing everything. Don't miss that. If you don't have a family, God invites you to be a part of His family, to be a part of the family of God, especially in a local, visible body. And He offers to adopt you into His family when you turn by faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's when you become a child of God. Somebody likes to say, well, we're all the children of God. No, we're all the creation of God. You don't become a child of God until you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then you're adopted into the family of God according to Scripture. And I pray that even if you don't have a good family, if you have the best family in the world, it doesn't matter. Trust me, you haven't been a part of the best family there is until you're part of the family of God. And that only comes through knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And I don't care if it's Christmas Eve like it is today, or whether it's Christmas Day, or whether it's New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, whatever it is, don't matter. Don't matter the time of day. If you've got a need, you feel free to call. If you want to talk about salvation or something else according to the Scripture, that we can be a help or a blessing to. We mean that from all of our heart. We give out our phone number for that reason, and we want you to know that we're willing to lay down some things for the gospel's sake, even some personal time with family, if it means sharing the gospel with you and helping you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you can be a part of our family, a part of the family of God. And we mean that from the bottom of our heart. Our phone number is 601-544-7920, and you feel free to use that as you need to according to the will of God. Now, you just calling to chit chat, that's a different subject, but you know, if you call them with a need or a burden, we're always glad to take those phone calls and glad to submit ourselves to the things of God. But we do want to get to the Scripture today, and we're going to be turning to Romans chapter 13. And while you're turning there in your Bibles, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to You this day, Lord, we're just so thankful for the many wonderful things that You've done for us. Father, that You sent Christ into this world that we could have peace again with You through Him. That there's peace and goodwill toward all men that would accept Christ and be reconciled to You, Father, through Him. Father, we just pray that You would help us to preach Your message. You know the need of the hour. You know the burden You've placed upon our heart. And Father, You know we're not able to deliver that message without Your help. Help us as only You can. Help those that are lost to see their need to turn and trust in Christ. And those of us that are saved to see the gift that You've given us and how we should share that gift with others while we have time and opportunity. For Father, we ask all this in the name of Jesus, for He is worthy. Amen. We're in Romans chapter 13. We left off last week talking about how we're to be submitted unto the people that have the power over us. And we're continuing that thought as we're to submit unto the government and the rulers that have rule over us. Because God did not call us here to transform things as far as this world is concerned. We naturally do that when we're transformed ourselves. And even when we proclaim the things of God and they're heard and they're abided by. It certainly has changed the world. It's because of Christianity that America exists. It's because of Christianity that Western civilization exists. It's because of Christianity that in places like England and the British Empire and even in America that slavery ended. It's because of Christianity that you had the Civil Rights Act and the Civil Rights Movement. It was because of Christianity and that move that did a lot of uniting this country based upon Christianity. And sadly, we've left the unifying factors amongst us and we've gone to things that don't unify. And it's sad to see all those things going on, because if we want to be unified as Americans again, there's some principles that we must believe in together. There's got to be some unifying things. And of course, even Martin Luther King Jr. went back to things of the founding of our nation. He said, this is good, this is beneficial. Frederick Douglass did that. Booker T. Washington did that. And the people that tried to unite people based upon common principles. Not hatred towards this person, not trying to get revenge, not social justice and all these other things, but things that unite us. Things that bring us together. They worked, didn't they? Martin Luther King Jr. worked, and I love reading some things about him because there's some characteristic things, there's some principal things that I go, yes, this is Christian. These are things I can unite on. This is biblical. This is right. But when things are not biblical and when they're not right, I'm going to say that too. And I'm not going to unite with people over unbiblical things. And if we want unity in our nation again, we got to look for things that unite us. But after looking at these things and how we're to submit unto the powers and leadership that are above us, he said, wherefore? Verse 5, I should have said that first. Romans 13, verse 5. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, not only because we're afraid of what the government might do to us, or things of this nature, or even maybe just what God might do to us, but also for conscience sake, our conscience before God. That we might do that is right in the eyes of God. Dear friend, we need to understand this. We need to know this. That we're not only doing what we do because we're afraid of some type of persecution, or we're afraid because of what the government might do to us. We're afraid if we don't pay our taxes, they might throw us in jail. Or we're afraid if we don't honor this person or that person, there might come some harm to us. We don't do it for that. We do it for conscience sake toward God. And he said in verse 6, for this cause, for conscience sake, that's the cause he's talking about. Our clean conscience before God, how God desires us to live even in this present world. He said, pay you tribute also, taxes. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. And listen, there's some times that I think, paying too much taxes. I do. I'm a Tea Party guy. Taxed enough already. And the sad thing is, sometimes we get taxed about 5-10 times for the same thing. And it's not only enough you have to pay taxes while you're living, even when you're dead, they come and say, we're going to retax everything where you can't even leave them behind to your children. And there's a lot of farmers, especially small-time farmers, that aren't able to pass their lands on to their children, or they have to do some work before they even pass away, and if that work's not done before they die early, the death taxes and things in this state should just do hard to farmers, to family farms. It's one of the biggest things to take out our family farmers. But as much as I'm against taxes and especially some of the things that go on in our day and time and some of the wasteful government spending that we have, which is the vast majority of what we spend, is wasteful and unneeded and not the government's business. Not the federal government, at least. Yet, when they ask for my taxes, you know what I do? Pay them. I go on, I try to live my life the best I can. I'm not here to argue taxes my whole life. Even though I have beliefs on it, even though I have strong beliefs on some of it, my main job here is to be a Christian. Is to be a person who shares the gospel with my mind on eternal things, not just temporal things. Again, that doesn't mean that I don't stand up for things. That doesn't mean that, if you ever get on and look at my Facebook post, I'm sometimes posting things about taxes, or that's my space, that's my time. And there's times I use that to promote things and to try to educate people on certain of that stuff. I don't spend near as much time in the messages doing that, and if it wasn't because it's being covered in the Scripture, I wouldn't be doing it today. But come time when they tell me I owe this much in taxes or I have to pay this, tag tax over here, and we got some pretty high tag taxes in Mississippi, especially in the city that I'm declared a resident in. I don't like paying that one. Land taxes. In fact, right now, I've got my land tax in the mail. I've got to pay it. It's due. I don't like how they spend some of the money they get. I don't like some of the ways. And I can say all that. You know what I do, though? I do what's honorable and what's right. I pay my taxes because I'm a Christian. Because I'm commanded to do so by God. I'm commanded to live my life here, not for myself, but for Him. And so even in times when I have disagreements with my government, even on my taxes and different things, I'll pay tribute also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Know what I say when I go before a judge? And hopefully I don't have too many times to do this, but I have been called as a witness before in court cases, and I have certainly been there, as I mentioned last week. You know, I have got a ticket before and had to go before a judge. There's times that you have to stand before judges in your life, whether you want to or not. And when you do, what do? Your honor. I might even know the man personally sometimes. And I might not think he's the most honorable person in the world. There's certainly some people in politics I don't think are the most honorable. You know what, though? There's customs. There are things that we do. And let me tell you this. As a Christian, I'm going to honor those things. Because it does not violate anything of my Christianity. Not a bit. And God is teaching me. And remember what we mentioned last week. At this time, who was the government here? The Roman government. Were they kind to Christians? Or were they throwing us into prison? Were they throwing us to animals? Were they having us killed? And yet even to these people, God is telling us, people that put us into slavery sometimes, people that threw us out as gladiators to make sport of us in the Colosseum and have us killed. People that threw us into prisons. People that would try to stop us from preaching the gospel and standing upon the gospel. And would be used to help kill, martyr many Christians. Even to these people, God is saying, when your taxes come due, you pay it. He's even saying to these people, when you go before somebody that has authority over you, whether it be an officer, whether it be a judge, whether it be a king, that you show respect to the office they hold. In doing so, you're having a clean conscience with God when you do this. It's amazing, isn't it? And yet there's people in our day and time say, well, I'm not going to honor this person, and I'm not going to honor this person, I'm not going to do that. You better be careful. You better get back into the Scripture and see who your real king is. Because if you're dishonoring what this king is telling you, God, you're not being a follower of Christ, which is a Christian. He says, if we're supposed to say honor to this person, we say honor. If it's customary that you come before that king and you kneel, or you bow, or you, the only time that you wouldn't do it is if it violates a commandment of God. And here God is telling you even how to do this. This is God's Word. And yet in our day and time, with all the liberty and freedom we have and all the blessings we have, we have more Christians complaining about this stuff and going against this Word than probably any time in Christian history. And it deserves mentioning that we are wrong when we do it. I can tell you right now, as I mentioned last week, I've had a lot of disagreements with different people in office. Do you know what I'll say if I come before Thad Cochran, who's one of my senators, or Roger Wicker? I'm going to say senator. And I'll go ahead and be honest with you. I haven't voted for either one of those men in years because of some of the actions that they've taken, some of the things that they stand for. I didn't vote for Obama. In fact, I promoted against him in both elections. Not that I was a real fan of McCain or Romney or thought they were the best men in the world either. I thought they were a better choice for the job. And again, my choice versus your choice, you can argue those things. I'm not trying to get into that side of it. I'm just telling you from a personal perspective. If I ever, even to this day, even though the man is not in the office anymore, if I ever get the opportunity to meet Mr. Obama, you know what I'm going to say? Mr. President. That is the title that is given unto him. It's the title that he'll give. Whether it's a Democratic governor from the state of Mississippi, whether it's been a Republican governor, if I meet them, I will say Mr. Governor. I will call them by the title given to them. I will show honor and respect unto them, whether I voted for them, whether I supported them, whether I believe in everything they believe or not. I will respect that office. You know why? Because it's what the Bible has taught me to do. And somewhere along the line, we have failed in teaching these things like we should. And again, remember what we preached 2 weeks ago. Don't overcome evil. Don't be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Remember that's in context with what we're reading now. And God says, for conscience sake, you render tribute to who tribute's due. You render honor to whom honor is due. Fear to whom fear. Things of this nature. And verse 8 he says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Now there are some people who want to take verse 8 and highly misuse it. And say, see, love is greater than the law. You might want to continue reading here. Yes, love is a fulfilling of the law, but how are we supposed to love? Is it not taught to us in 1 John that if we love one another, this is how we show our love one toward another, in that we keep the commandments of God, that we uphold them? Do you know that when I preach against homosexuality, I'm practicing love towards the homosexuals because I want them to repent and be saved? If I didn't love them, I just remain silent and let them die and go to hell. I love a fornicator and an adulterer when I preach against those sins because I want them to repent. He said, for this, verse 9, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now let's go back over this. And let's dig into it and see what love really means. If I love my neighbor as myself, thou shalt not commit adultery. Let me ask you this. How many of you men or women would like your spouse to commit adultery on you? How would you feel if somebody cheated on you? If your spouse that you're devoted to for the rest of your life, you found out they cheated on you, how do you feel? If you love them as much as you want them to love you, you wouldn't commit adultery on them because you'd never want to cause them that pain that you know that it would cause you. And if I know that, even towards myself, what if I'm not married, but I know somebody that is married that may want to have an affair? because I know the pain that it would cause for somebody to cheat on me. I'm not even going to give that person the opportunity. And they can say, well, this person's bad, this person's wrong. That's y'all's business to work out. Doesn't mean I get involved. And what I mean by that is, I'm not going to help somebody commit adultery because they're upset about some things at home. They need to work that out with their spouse. I'm not going to be a part of an adulterous relationship because if I love my neighbor as myself, even the person that I might not feel is treating his wife well or the person treating their husband well or things of this nature and all these other things, if I love my neighbor as myself, I wouldn't commit adultery because I wouldn't want anybody to do that to me. See how that's loving your neighbor as yourself? Thou shalt not kill. I'll be honest with you, I don't want nobody murdering me. I got two kids, and I can't imagine what it would be like to lose my children. I've seen people lose children. My goodness, it's a heart-wrenching thing to watch. But murder, killing somebody, that's a big deal, isn't it? Everybody is somebody's child, isn't it? Everybody's somebody's son or daughter. Murder, it's a serious deal. I don't want nobody to kill my family. I don't want nobody to kill me. Well, if I love my neighbor as myself, if I don't want anybody to kill me and I don't want anybody to kill my family members, my wife, my children, my parents, whoever, if I don't want that done unto me, then because I love my neighbor as myself, I would never do that to somebody else's family. I would never bring that harm and that pain to them because I love them. Thou shalt not steal. I don't like having stuff stolen from me. I've had stuff stolen from me before. I've had money stolen from me before. I've had property stolen from me before. I've had people try to steal my good name before. I've had people try to repugn my reputation. I don't like any of it. I don't like being stolen from. And because I don't like being stolen from, because I love you the same as I love myself, I want to steal from you. I don't want to do to you what I would hate to have done unto me. Even if I don't like you, I'm not going to steal a dime from you because love compels me not to. The love of Christ. Because He's commanded me to love you even as myself. And if I'm loving you right, then I would never steal from you. I'd never take from you. Because look, that would violate the love of the law of God. Don't you see that the law of God is about love and about respect? It says that thou shalt not bear false witness. You ever been lied upon? I have. Man, I've been lied upon in many ways, many times over my lifetime. Been lied on by family before. Hurts. I hate being lied to. I hate being lied about. Well, if I hate it being done to me, why would I do it to somebody else? Why would I say something about somebody else that's not true if I love them as myself? You see where the law is getting to here? You see what the Scripture is actually saying? Don't covet. I don't want another man looking at my wife in a lustful way. One of the reasons that modesty is a big factor. And you want to keep your wife covered. You want to keep her clothed. Same reason I want to be modest too. I don't want nobody coveting my house, saying I want to take that house from him. Coveting my vehicle. Coveting my children. Coveting anything of mine. Mine's mine. And there's certain things that belong unto me and not to you. I don't want people coveting what's mine. But if I don't want that towards me, then I don't need to covet what somebody else has. I don't need to covet their land, their job, their talent, their looks, their spouse, anything. Why? Because I love them as myself. Because it's briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Because love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Is it tearing down the law anywhere here? Is it saying, let people do whatever they want to here? They do their thing, you do your thing? Or is it saying this abides to every single one of us in what God's talking about here? That we uphold the commandments of God because they teach love. Teaching thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not be a fornicator. I mean, you can go down the list of all the sins in the Bible. Preaching against sin is preaching love. Because it develops a better society. If you have a society that has respect towards one another based upon the law of God, you're going to have a better society. This creates better things because love worketh no ill will. Love won't commit murder. Love won't steal. Love won't commit adultery. Love doesn't want to commit fornication. Love wants to do the things that God has taught because by doing the things that God has taught, it makes us love one another better. It's not tearing down anything of the commandments of God. It's saying this is why they're so much more important, because they teach love. The commandments of God teach love. It's not tearing down anything. It's upholding them even more, because it's showing us that what God has given us in His Word and in His commandments, and even how we're to give off of what we want for what God wants and lay aside our flesh for the things of God, it's about love. And it's about God knowing what's best for us and His love towards us. So when people try to misuse these scriptures to say, well, if you love me, you'll let me do whatever I want, that's not what the Bible teaches. In fact, it's the opposite of what it teaches. In fact, he follows that with saying, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. What is he getting to there in verse 11? We're about to face judgment and face God. Why does God tell us these things? Because he knows what's coming in the future and he's preparing us for it. That's the context of this verse and these scriptures. When you take them out of context, you can make it say near about anything. When you put it into context, you get one solid message. Not many messages, a solid, singular message. That the law of God is good. That it promotes love. Not only God's love towards us, but our love towards one another. And that the commandments of God are beneficial for love. That preaching against sin is beneficial for love, for the good of the individual when they face judgment, for the good of us when we face one another. Dear friend, I pray that we look at these scriptures and see what they're teaching us. Do you know that everything in the Word of God is about God's love toward us and about Him teaching how we should love one another? But that includes teaching against homosexuality. That includes teaching against fornication. That includes teaching against theft. It includes teaching against social justice over true justice. It includes a lot of things that we teach rightful judgment over this social justice garbage. That everything that God has given us is to put us in that which is upright, true, and righteous and holy. Because one day we're facing judgment. You know what happens to a person that faces judgment without Christ? They lift their eyes in eternity in hell. Do you know why God tells you there is a hell? Because He doesn't want you to go there. Because it wasn't even designed for you. It was designed for the devil and his angels. Do you know why He sent Christ into this world? So that He could fulfill the law for you. Die as a substitute for your sins. That you could be saved by repenting and turning by faith and trusting in Him. That you could receive the free gift of God through Christ. Dear friend, I pray that you see the love of God today. I pray that you see it. And if you have any questions about it, any way God could use us to be a blessing, our number is 601-544-7929. 1-800-273-8020. We pray this could be a blessing. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll take this message, use it to your honor and glory for the good that is accomplished. Let us step aside and give you the praise, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.